Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich right over there, Dr. Jill Hubbard right over there, and your phone calls right over here. Welcome to New Life Live.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
with
children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And, you know, we're celebrating in just 5 days Milan's new book, How We Love Our Kids, the book with Kay. And by the way, my wife is in a small group going over how we love. And
she sent me an email on that. Yeah, that was so cool.
And so she wanted to get me a copy in Indianapolis, and every bookstore was sold out of How We Love. She couldn't get it. So I'll try to steal one from here or something, take it back. But anyway, that group is a powerful, powerful group. Now, based on that book, they have put together the second book, How We Love Our Kids. Now, if you've ever met Milan Kay's kids, you'd say, okay, well, they're qualified. But it really is a wonderful, powerful book. Tell me one thing, or tell everybody, one very important concept you're trying to relay to people in that book. What's the headline of that book?
Children are a miracle. And they're a mess. The kids are messy.
A messy miracle.
But they are not only messy themselves, but they expose the mess in us.
Yes.
Kids are little exposers, and they take us to new levels of insecurity, fear, apprehension, etc.
Yeah.
Well, how that pans out as an avoider parent, the pleaser parent, the vacillator, controller, victim parents, it has a bearing. And so that affects your child rearing and how you end up being a mom or a dad. So the subtitle of the book is how one small change in you can make big changes in your kids.
Mm.
So it's more of a focus first on the parent, how you can make improvements, become a better parent by making a few choices and a few changes that'll have just far-reaching efforts, far-reaching effects upon your kids.
You know, it's cool to me because it doesn't change the fact that a child might have an allergic reaction to a medication and get very sick, or their personality might change based on some environmental thing that you can't control.
Right.
But your reaction to those things can be different if you read this book, because it's not the thing, it's the reaction to the thing.
That is such a true statement.
Well, right, and understanding your reactions, as you were saying, and you guys give great examples throughout the book, really we'll turn on some light bulbs, I think, for people. Because when you can understand it, then it's like, oh, no wonder.
No wonder I do that.
Yeah, no wonder.
So a lot of books about parenting are about the kids themselves, what to do to the kid. But this is a book that starts first, what you can do to yourself to improve you as a parent. The second half of the book is about what happens if you're a little boy or girl's an avoider, a pleaser, a vacillator, controller, victim. How can you help them be less that way the older they get?
You know, the other day I was in the driveway, and there are two pots at the end of the driveway, and I finally hit the one and broke it.
Finally,
you've
managed.
You've been aiming every, every time and, you drive in, huh?
Well, you could blame it on ice conditions.
She was so upset, and was a bit irritated that day. But
your daughter?
No, Misty, my wife. But you know, she had this insight. She says, "Look, I understand that things like this happen as a result of something that happened to you, and I respond because of something that happened to me. We're just doing what we're used to doing." And she wasn't angry. No eyeballs were ripped out or anything, because she had some insight from the group.
Because
how
she's
we
so
love.
Good at that, right?
No. Yeah. She had insight from that group, and it really changed her reaction to me. All right. How We Love Our Kids. That book is available. Also, the CD Milan and Kay did for our ministry, talking about that, won't take the place of the book, but it's a great resource. We'll be back right after this and go right to the phone calls here on New Life Live. Glad you're here.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All righty. Let's talk to Sam from Fairfax, Virginia, listening on WAVA. Hi, Sam. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. What's happening in your life, Sam?
A little bit of it. I listen to this show quite a lot when I'm in the car, and, you know, everybody has these problems, and you guys are doing a great job in finding out the problem that everybody has. And I have a little bit of a story of it started off sad, but there's a lot of hope to it.
Are you from South Africa? Are you from South Africa or?
Yeah, originally I'm from South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
What happened is we immigrated. My kids were, I have twin boys. They're now 7. And my wife, long story short, she had somebody that I didn't know that she had. And, she had this kind of affair, and then I was kind of tricked into divorce. Long story short, she married this guy, and it was very topsy-turvy, and you can imagine, going through divorce is certainly not fun, and especially if you had twin boys of 5 years old. And anyway, her life carried on, and, I stayed, I was very dedicated to that, and I was, I was not putting myself first. My kids were first, just to try and give them the stability. My goal was to get them through life with as least baggage as possible.
So what's happening now?
A long story short, she went into this relationship, a lot of abuse, physical abuse. It lasted for about a year. And being, picking up kids and dropping off, one has to realize you always have a relationship with your wife or ex-wife, no matter what.
Sure.
It's going to be there for the next 20 years.
But how could we help you now? What's going on now?
So she's left that situation. She's I think they're separating. But I've stepped up, and I'm still kind of her main support, a support base for her. And, it's amazing to see, like, for kids, I don't think we realize. And, I mean, we obviously had great terms. I'm supporting her. I've forgiven her. I don't have any bad feelings to her. Which is great. I mean, I can only thank God for giving me that grace that I don't have, that animosity or that I've completely forgiven. And
okay. So
and I think what we need to realize is that the kids that suffer so much from divorce, when I can see that they can see that their parents can get on, it's like their life has changed dramatically.
So let's get to that question. What can we help
you
with?
I just want to say, I mean, it's not a question. I want to paint a picture to everybody out there that, you must just always have hope no matter how bad your life gets.
Yeah.
Just keep praying.
Yeah.
Keep praying. God has his own timing.
So you guys back together? Are you going to get back together? What's that?
Yeah, I think, certainly, it starts by being friends, and then, we co-parenting and we're getting on well together.
Okay,
and, I mean,
now,
you're kind of building blocks, so we never know what's going to happen a year or two down the road.
Let me give you a caution, okay?
Yeah.
You said that you're her main support.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like her emotional support.
Correct.
Well, that's part of how she got into an affair. She doesn't have other women in her life to give her encouragement, support, and even confrontation that she's getting herself in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it would be really good if you said to her, if we're ever going to get back together, at some point when you feel it's safe, I really hope that you will get some counseling for the problem that we had, and then maybe we can get some counseling together. But I would move very slowly. Mylon, what are you thinking when you hear about a situation like this where she's leaving the abusive man and they may get back together?
Well, Sam, I share with you in the joy of your story. My caution would be that if you're going to get back into a relationship with her, that you do it very intentionally and that you be not quite so easygoing and all this forgiving and all that nice, wonderful ways that you don't feel like, you know, she owes you too much. But there are certainly answers that need to be asked and answered to keep you from getting there again, because it could happen again. There's hurt, there's pain on both sides, and you really need to get down to it. So I applaud your efforts for the boys and you guys, but I would do it with somebody helping you get down to really what happened.
Yeah.
Right, because it almost sounds like you're kind of in the role of a parent with her. And so she can go off and do things, and you're kind of the home base. And really, you know, if you want something more with her down the road, there has to be more of an equal adult relationship, and, you know, so that those romantic feelings can develop.
Yeah.
That's well put,
You don't
Jill.
Just want to be the safe guy.
Well, here comes the manual you guys need to memorize, and it's How We Love. It'll be a great help to you, and I'll send that out to you. And God bless you there. You know,
Mylon's, but great points that he made, too.
Yes. But so often, that initial fast forgiveness, you go down the road 2 or 3 years later and you find there's still resentment and bitterness because you didn't really do the work or the requirement.
Well, and it's there while you don't yet have the relationship. You know, once they got back into a marriage, you might find it surfacing if you ignore it.
Now, that's right.
We're going to start.
And it'll surface if you don't. Ignore it. Yeah. It could come back up again anyhow.
We're going to start our New Life Weekend tomorrow in Dallas. And this is the kind of situation when somebody comes before the affair, before the divorce, and before the marriage to somebody else, we're able to work with them. And you can see it's 11th through the 13th. I think you can still get in if you call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or go online. You can register online at newlife.com. newlife.com. So I hope that you'll be there. I hope you'll meet with us. And if you can't make that one, come to the March event, Marriage Workshop, with Mylon Kay and Dr. Stoop and his wife Jan. That's in D.C., March the 25th. All right, let's talk with Sarah from Albany, New York. WHAZ is the station. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to New Life.
Hello. How are you?
Thanks for holding on as you have, and how could we help you?
How important is it to grieve a loss of a child? I'm 46 years old. I find myself single year after year, no matches for myself. And I see other couples, and I freeze when I see them. My stomach gets in knots, and emotionally, I think I'm kind of frozen anyway. I haven't met my husband. I've been on eHarmony, for example, for 7 years.
Wow.
I'm single. I'm isolated. And I think the church sends what we can do, what we can't, well, it tells us what we can't do as single people, but it doesn't tell us what we can do. And for decades, I feel like I've been isolated and ostracized. And I feel like I'm traumatized in some senses of being alone. I'm losing my mother as a major person in my life. There's no sex life. I've never had a sex life. People call in all the time about their children and their husbands and their wives. I haven't had an opportunity. And so I'm just not blaming, lately I've been blaming myself, but there really isn't any proof in my history that I'm the one to be blamed.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm burning with passion at times in my life. I've taken 2 decades of antidepressants to deal with depression over this. You know, and it's certainly easier to swallow a pill and try to live through that depression,
well,
and that's what I've done.
How do you think we? How do you
also
think?
Also, not that very easy to marry later. I don't think. And here I am,
okay.
46-year-old, thinking that what did I wait for, and what was this all
right.
about in the first place?
Well, what's
I'm
the
so
question?
Wasted.
What's the question for us then?
Should I grieve this loss of a child, a loss of wanting to, knowing that that's a natural thing, and that would have been a natural thing if you had asked me 20 years earlier, that would have been a normal thing for me to do and want. And now at 46, I'm not so certain my OBGYN is recommending me to have a child or even thinking about having a
well,
child.
Well, I'm going to let Mylon and Jill address the grief, and then I want to talk about something else.
Just a
I just also want to say my psychiatrist thinks I'm borderline personality disorder. which kind of ties into it a little bit, I guess, because my mother now, I'm losing my mother. I never really had a good relationship with my mother. The bonding wasn't really there.
Okay, but first, tell us, why does he, tell us something in your life that would cause him to think you're borderline, something that happens some way.
I'm not connected with my mother very well. No bonding initially in the beginning. My mother was overwhelmed in the beginning. She had two children, one hyperactive, one didn't speak until he was about 7 years old, and two cousins that kind of dropped in whenever they wanted to, sort of a thing, when the parents were sick.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Jill, what do you think?
Okay, well, let me just address the grieving thing first. You said, should you grieve over the loss of a child, okay? Your life isn't where you had hoped it would be. So,
quite some time, actually.
Okay, so as opposed to what? So,
as opposed to many of my friends, my family members.
Okay, no, in terms of grieving, so you're deciding, should I grieve over the loss?
Of the loss of the opportunity, perhaps.
Right, right. So if you don't do that, then what?
I think that somehow I will have this misplaced anger, and it will come out, and it won't be safe to come out.
Okay.
We agree.
Okay, so yes, you've answered your own question.
We agree with you.
There's a lot of losses in life. None of us get everything.
And I'm going to lose my mother, and I know there's going to be another one. My father's going to be gone. And you know, they were the ones that kind of held me together for so many years, you know, not being single all those years. And sometimes I just feel like, you know, is this what I waited? And this is what it is, you know. And I know that it's very depressing at times, you know, to deal with this and to have to deal with this with other people.
Sarah, you said a little while ago, no fault of my own, I'm here. You said that. You said
I've survived a lot. I think I survived.
Well, hold on once, Sarah.
I survived it.
I know, but you said, and it's kind of no fault of your own that you're in this position.
Yes, because no one asked me to marry.
Well, I respect that nobody asked you. However, if you are, in fact, as your psychiatrist says, borderline personality disorder, or if you are angry and I'm going to guess that this anger emotion that you feel at the loss of not having a child, this isn't the first time you felt this anger.
No, it isn't. Matter of fact, it is a constant issue.
Thank you. Now you see right there, now we're at the real issue. It's I'm an angry person. And so when you and that's not, again, necessarily.
I don't see myself as an angry person, however,
well,
though.
I know, because
but
there's
this. It's been coming out really
that's
weird.
Right.
Society doesn't count that as a loss.
I get that.
Death or loss. You know,
doesn't
loss
matter. Doesn't matter what society.
But, Sarah, you're a very sweet person in many respects, but your life has taken a hard toll on you. And
well,
so
it's been like that for quite a long time.
I understand.
And I actually got into the, you know, talking to three at one. My life has been carried through, believe it or not, by many therapists over the years, and that's how I've managed to survive.
Okay, so
at this point.
It is to
it's
therefore
very lonely life.
I cannot imagine.
Yeah,
and it's
that,
really
Sarah.
Important for you to say, okay, I must work not only on the grief, but I must work on this anger, because it's a historical anger. It's an anger that has many points of origin, and they all it's kind of like, you know, a bunch of small streams that, you know, pop up. And then a little bit further down the road or down the creek bed, it's a big river because you have all these little
well,
springs.
Well, again,
that
if
are
you don't deal with it, it will leak out.
Right.
Right.
And don't you guys think that anger and grief are tied together somehow, some way?
Well, one covers the other. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. It's sometimes easier to be angry than it is to be sad. And so we walk around with this anger, this belligerent attitude, when in reality we need to grieve and experience sadness, and if we don't do that, we end up like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to encourage you to think about something else too. Your control, the level of control that you like to have over other people. Have you ever talked about that to anybody?
No, I have not. No, but my father has been good at that, and there's been a sense of control all my life. You know, in a sense of being anorexic, that was 6 years of my early 20s.
Okay. Well, if I were you, I would get in with a good counselor. I would grieve what you have lost in not having children that hurts you so badly. Other people wouldn't have to grieve that. And I would look at the issue of control, and your need to control may kind of push people away from you. They may not.
I'll tell you, have a lot to give, and that's the issue too. It's so hard because I feel like I'm going to burst.
But if you overwhelm people or flood people, or you just will not,
I might not even know I'm doing that.
You, that's right. Right. So you can deal with the counselor, but then also, I think you've got to get a life, an interesting, fun, fulfilling life as a single, where you say, okay, doggone it, I'm going to live as if I'll never be married. I'm going to make a great life as a single. So if I don't marry, a lot of times when people make that decision and they start taking dance lessons and learn how to do pottery and all the other things to get them out of the house and meet people along the way, some really good things can happen. Either you have a great life as a single, or you meet somebody, one or the other. But you really sound miserable. I'm so sorry for you, but I know, we know, that it can change. Might have a couple more comments about this when we come back right after this break. You're listening to New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right. Anything you want to
I just wanted to add one more thing.
Okay.
Sarah, you said there might be things that you're doing that you don't recognize. And I think that's true of all of us. We do things. And especially when you feel like you're not getting some of the things that you have been wanting, you kind of have to look at your part. Doesn't mean that everything is your fault. It just means, okay, how am I continuing some of the things that I learned early in life? And a lot of times, the more angry we get over what we are not getting, and the, you know, then the more entitled we feel about it, well, that kind of pushes people away.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. That,
the push away is a very big thing, okay, because we're waiting for that perfect presentation of the perfect scenario.
And when we do get something, they better give it to us.
That's right.
Because we've been waiting so long, we
so
deserve it.
So what I think here is Sarah needs a cause to jump into, because we all need something bigger than ourselves.
Needs a cause. Okay.
And without
and she's
that,
losing mom.
And without that, what is my purpose?
Okay.
And I need a purpose. And so causes provide that. And there are many of those wherever we live. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm glad that you called, Sarah. And I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. One of those choices is the choice to grieve. I think there'll be a lot of points in there that will help you. All right. I want to talk with Jenny, who's calling from Salisbury, Maryland. WOLC is the station. Hello, Jenny.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good.
OK, Okay. You want to speak right up and tell us what's on your mind?
Get out of my way.
We understand. We have children of our own. Okay. All right, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jenny, now, do we need to call you back or something?
Mm-mm. It's okay.
Okay, so what is the question for us?
I want to know how I could talk to my husband when he's talking about sex and girlfriends he's had.
And how old are you and how old is he?
15.
You're 15.
He's 16.
He's 16. And so, do you have a baby together or what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so he talks to you about girls in the past, or he's having sex with girls now?
Mm-hmm.
In the past. Okay. And you feel like it's just so insensitive, you don't know how to get him to stop talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you think he's trying to say to you when he's sharing? Why? What do you think's the purpose in his mind of even talking about anyone other than you?
To hurt my feelings.
Oh, I am so sorry.
I'll be right back. Bye.
Okay. All right. Well, that's too bad. My.
Okay, so I have a theory.
Okay.
Jenny sounds scared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jenny sounds like she's calling us in secret.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that somebody doesn't find out she's calling.
Right.
But this radio call is a lifeline to her. Yeah. Somebody will listen. Somebody will be empathetic.
Right.
And I think really for the Jennies of this world, the victimized little girls still mm-hmm. in a growing woman's body who have been taken advantage of and are now in a disadvantaged place.
Mm-hmm.
They need help. They need to go to somebody bigger than themselves. They need to go to either if they don't have their own mom and dad, they need to find a mom and dad at a church.
Right.
They need to find social services that will help support them. Because this person that she's married to or the mm-hmm. husband, it doesn't sound like a nice guy.
No.
Well,
doesn't.
And at 15 and 16, somebody had to okay that marriage.
You know, but here's the thing.
So what do you do?
Somehow, some way, they decided for life. For their child.
Now, oh, yes, they did. By having one, it's a life decision.
At 15, it would be very easy to abort. Now, I was just reading a statistic that in New York, 40% of all babies are aborted.
Mm.
And in the African-American community, 70% are aborted. In fact, there are signs up with pictures of African-American babies saying endangered species.
Oh, wow.
50 million babies have been aborted in 38 years. Mm. And here is a couple. They have something to celebrate. They have preserved a life. But here he is being an absolute jerk. And you know why? Because he doesn't have a man to come alongside him and tell him how to be a man or show him how to be a man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They still need a mom and dad.
They need to be under the wings of some other people.
They're still kids.
Right.
And they need a mom and dad.
Babies trying to be adults.
Well, I think we have her phone number, and we're gonna follow up and see if we can't help in some way. I don't want to shame him at mm-hmm. all, but you know, this is what 15 and 16 year olds do, you know. And sadly, they're married and doing this kind of stuff.
Well, you would want to say if you were listening to somebody else, you would want to say, well, your husband's acting like a 16 year old.
Right.
That is true. That is
true.
Exactly.
Yeah, you say, well, he's like a 40-year-old and a 16-year-old, or he's like a 16-year-old and a 40-year-old body. Well, this kid's like a 16-year-old
and a 16-year-old body.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so they need a mom and a dad. They need help. Right. They need a church that'll pull around them. And you know what? There's some great moms and dads out there that could help these people.
Right there in Salisbury, Maryland. We've got some friends. Maybe we can give you some help. We're gonna try to do that. All right. We'll take a break and come back for more of New Life Live, the weekend in Dallas, the New Life weekend. Tomorrow it begins. I'll see you there. Come join us. And then Through It All, Better Than Ever is the name of the marriage seminar in Washington, D.C., May 13th through the 15th. All right. And then also don't forget, this is the publication week of How We Love Our Kids And you can find out about that online at newlife.com. We'll be back right after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food. I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and I want to talk with Beth. She's a Club New Life member from Denver, Colorado. Hello, Beth. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Thanks for supporting us through Club New Life there and in Denver. God bless you.
Well, thank you for your program, and actually, my dog is a big fan of your show.
Really? Do we put him to sleep or what?
No, he used to get about a 30-minute walk, and now that I download the podcast from New Life, he actually gets an hour.
So.
He loves it when he sees me with my iPod.
And you get 1 hour of exercise. I love that.
While nice. You're listening, that's a great idea.
That's tremendous.
It's awesome.
Well, even though you listen to the show on a regular basis for 1 hour, what little area of your life is falling apart today? How could we help you?
Well, I find myself having just no desire for a physical relationship with my husband.
Okay.
And I actually think I know maybe some of the reasons for that.
Okay, tell us.
But okay, well, a few things. I've been listening to your show, so I think there has been in the past some of this mothering of me with him. He's been a lot like an extra teenager in the house, kind of insecure and needy, and it's like one more person to give to.
Okay.
The second thing I think is that we were physically involved before we got married. In fact, I was pregnant when we got married.
Okay.
And I grew up knowing better than that, and I'm wondering if I'm kind of like suffering the long-term results of just sinful behavior because of the kind of the, you know, the risky behavior maybe gave it a level of excitement that, of course, you don't have after 23 years.
That is correct. That happens sometimes, or often it happens. Okay.
And the other thing is that, you know, he's mid-40s, kind of squishy and out of shape and not that sexy. And
squishy.
You know,
I haven't heard squishy on the show in a long time.
Squishy and acting like a kid.
Okay.
Well, and see, there's a whole different aspect, actually, a more disturbing aspect to this, is that when we go there, because we do go there, because, you know, my mom told me that if I don't give it to him, somebody will. I have to do these mental gymnastics with...
Beth.
What's that?
Add that to your list, please. Make sure
you add that to my list?
Yes, please. You said, well, I've got... So I think I know some of the reasons I've been listening to the show, and you gave a nice list so far. And then you said, and then there's my mom's message. Give it to him or else somebody else will.
Okay, I'll add that.
Mm-hmm. Add that to the list.
But there's this mental gymnastics that I do, and so this produces a lot of guilt for me, and it very often involves, you know, me in another place, in another situation. And so to counteract that, I may actually, you know, try to pray. And, you know, all of this is just very...
So that was code for fantasizing. So you're not with your husband.
Yes, but I'm not with a real person. It's not another person.
It's just fantasizing.
It's a fantasy that's
creating
excitement.
Right. It's a disconnection. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. But the problem is all of these things are not things I can change. I certainly can't change my history. I can't change him.
How long have you been married?
If none of it ever changes, what is the hope?
How long have you been married and how old are you?
23 years married.
23 years?
We've been married 23 years.
And
I'm
43. You're 43. Okay. Now, is there anything that you would say is a major source of anger for you? It is something that you've found yourself angry over repeatedly.
Well, you know, we've been working for 15 years on and off pretty intensely on all kinds of different levels of dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
I have had, you know, a lot of different issues. I would say right now, and actually my husband went to a New Life weekend and worked on some things, and I would say right now... we are, in every other aspect of our marriage, pretty much more connected than we've ever been.
Mm.
But this particular area is just a real frustration to us.
Okay. Now, you didn't go to the New Life weekend. Why is that?
Money.
Mm.
We chose which one of us would... We were in a little bit of a crisis situation, so he went to an anger... he went to an anger group in lieu of maybe doing something else extreme.
Okay, so so his major emotional trouble is in the area of anger?
Well, that's what your counselors advised him when he called. He doesn't see himself as like people that know him think he's really laid back, but he does. He has figured out that the basis of his issues, which are insecurity and things like that, are because of anger, and that's how it manifests itself. Only does it like about every 6 months, but it's a little scary when it does.
Okay, all right. So the question for us would be:
well, if I can't change any of those things, like my history or his physique or whatever, what is the hope and what is the method for getting physically connected? Because we both want that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not a physical problem. And I think when Myla and Jill talked to you about the emotional connection and repair in that area, I think the physical often takes care of itself. But you guys, you've done the research on whether or not you can figure this out by yourself, and you've proven that you can't and that you're going to need to get some real help. Myla, Jill, what do you think? What should they do?
Well, Beth, in all that you've said that you've done, I heard that he went to a weekend. I haven't heard that the two of you have done any work together.
We have. We've done
intensive
counseling. We've done couples counseling, individual counseling, read lots and lots of books.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I really like is from Mylan's book, and it comes from some research on holding time that they did originally with autistic children. Not Mylan and Kay, but when you talk about holding your partner and having a time where people take turns sharing, and, you know, there's some parameters around that, and you really take the time to hear your partner and understand them and, you know, listen to their heart, because there's, even though you guys have made some improvement, which is great, there's that emotional piece that need that is underdeveloped. And, you know, for you to be excited about your husband physically, you've got to really feel connected with him on an emotional level, that he sees you and you see him beyond he's a squishy guy that kind of is like another having another kid at home. I mean, you know, yeah, there's those moments, but those aren't the things that you want to preoccupy you. You want to be feeling like he really gets me. He gets me more than any other guy on this planet, and that's really exciting.
Hmm. Well, and that would be a journey into manhood, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
See? And but if he's a boy in a grown man's body, just another teenager.
And he sounds like he is. It does.
Well,
or
yeah.
At least has some boy parts.
Boy,
right?
Well, yeah, but being a boy in adolescent isn't fun to. It's not attractive.
Yeah.
Well, right. A mother doesn't want to sleep with her son.
Right. But if I am.
But what do I do about the? Like, I've actually had people tell me, "Well, go ahead and have a fantasy because it helps you, and he needs the physical thing."
Did you hear what
you know?
So that's just resigning yourself.
Beth, did you hear what Jill just said? Jill is making a case for.
That's kind of the long term.
No, it isn't the long term. The issue is, you guys need to sit down and you need to address it. How many of these items on this list have you said to him out loud?
All of them.
Okay.
Oh, wait. The things that I said, what do you mean?
That you just gave us a pretty nice list right here as to all the reasons why you find your husband not attractive. Has he heard all these?
Well, in the context of this issue, he's heard all of them except for the one about being a teenager.
Okay.
Probably.
But you see, that is maybe one of the most important ones, because what Jill is saying is if you will learn to enter into and get involved with a couples therapist that really understands how to create emotional bonding between the two of you, and they're not easy to find, by the way, but you learn to bring yourselves into relationship, you learn to love and mature at new and different levels, and that becomes attractive. There is a long-term solution to this, which is I must do this work. And so we always have to ask, is the work I'm doing effective, or is the work I'm doing, you know, not getting us anywhere, or is it creating that intimacy? So I would say this holding time is very important to developing emotional intimacy.
If there's any overriding sense or feeling about their relationship after it being described, they don't sound like they're on the same page.
Nope.
They don't feel like there's a heart connection.
Right.
They're not really trying to help each other with the wounds. Imagine what wounds he has that have resulted in a teenager in a grown man's body.
Yeah.
And if they can ever start to empathize with each other and connect at that level, I think the sex is going to take care of itself.
Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert.
Out of these ashes,
if there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. We are back. And let me, well, you know what? Before we do anything, I want to show you a clip from, I'll explain it later, from Israel in front of Peter's house. That I filmed when we were over there just a few weeks ago, because we're going in June 6th through the 16th. But here is me in front of the actual home where Peter lived. In Mark 1:29, it says that Jesus came from the synagogue, which is over here, and entered into the house of St. Peter, who shared it with Andrew. This is the doorway where Jesus walked in. Peter spent many, many hours. It said that he had such a comfortable life here in Capernaum rather than in Nazareth, where things were so antagonistic. This was his home, his homeland. It's really been an eye-opener to see where he walked and where he lived as a young boy. Come join us and see it in June of 2011 and experience new life with us in the Holy Land. All right, Stephen Curtis Chapman is going with us. He'll be there the whole trip from the 6th to the 16th. I think it's going to be fun. Mylon will be there. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, we'd love for you to come. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Our final caller, if you're on there, hold on. We're going to do one more show today, and we'll get to you if you can hold on. But let's talk to, right now, let's talk with April from Seattle, Washington, and she listens on KGNW. Hi, April.
Thanks.
How you doing?
For taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help you?
Oh, okay. We have a young lady, or young woman, I guess, in our lives that has been a part of our family's lives for about 7 years. She's gone on vacations with us and stayed with our kids over weekends and just kind of been a big part of all of our lives.
Yeah.
In the last year, these stories started to develop. Multiple stories, but the big one is that she has cancer. I was in tears, you know, our family was praying for her, and just slowly over the months, I came to realize, or I came to doubt whether it was true.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last couple months, I have realized it's absolutely not true.
How do you know it's not true? It's fascinating.
Well, I know it's... there was just a lot of doubt for a while, but one day she called me up in tears and wanted to meet, and we met for lunch, and she told me this really outlandish story about how her parents were, I can't think of the word right now, but legally taking her out of their family.
Okay.
If the story just didn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
But it kind of gave me an opportunity to call her parents and talk to them, because I'd been wanting to do that, but I didn't know how to say, hey, I think your daughter's lying about this huge issue. I mean, serious issue that everybody is very upset over. So I called her parents. We talked. They had been doubting. Her brothers had been doubting.
Why do you think she's needing to lie like this? What's going on?
It's so out of character for her. I mean, we've known her since she was 14. Just very out of character. So that's very confusing to me, is why she would do this. There was a event that she told us about, or told me about, that happened over a year.
Okay. Well,
a year
all
before.
Right, but you know what? You could tell us a lot of lie stories, and all we would know is that she's not telling you the truth.
And, no, she's not.
Okay,
I don't know
so
why.
What
and
is
my
the
question?
Well, yeah.
Is because I've talked to her parents and she knows that she has now cut us out completely. She hasn't said that, but she won't answer.
Okay, you're gonna have to ask me a question really fast
okay,
question.
So my question is, what do I do? And when I see her, if I see her, talk to her, what do I confront the lies, or I'm yes. worried that this is
yes.
a mental illness?
Yes,
that
yes, you do. You confront the lie. You say, you know what?
When we
you
love her. I mean, that's
well, yeah.
The one
so
that
you
I
start with
know,
we. I just want you to know we love you, and there's nothing you can do to change that love. Not a thing. We'll love you forever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose it. And you know, when you were telling me about this thing, I really doubted about that. And then you told me this other thing, and I really doubted that. And so I checked it out, and I found out that those things aren't true. And I just want to talk to you about, why do you need to tell me something that isn't true? Why can't we just be friends at the same level, just dealing with reality? Mylon, your thought in the next 60 seconds or so?
Yes, you have a really sick girl on your hands
yeah.
here. Okay,
yeah.
She presented to you as needy. You took her in. You brought her in. She enmeshed with your family. And now she's threatened, and so she has to make up new stories to keep the intensity close.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something we see all the time. That is not new. It's new to you, and you say it's out of her character. She might not even be aware of this, but the fabrication of these things are for the purpose of creating a drama that will draw attention to herself. Jill,
and,
do you think that's possible?
Yes, and keep you riveted to
that's
her.
That's right.
So she doesn't lose.
You know, there's a different thing called learned helplessness. This is kind of like arranged helplessness.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
anyway.
it's learned drama.
And they were the idealized
of,
family.
Yeah.
And so this girl comes in, and you guys mm-hmm. are wonderful, and I have to keep that closeness. And
well, I'm going to send her How We Love, because I think she'll learn a lot about this person in the book on the style. Of,
possibly.
And maybe understand her better. So that is coming your way. All right. Well, we are so glad that you listen or watch our program. And just so you know, we've broken it down to an average of $110 a program on a station for one day. Now, some of our stations don't charge us anything, and other stations charge us a lot. But we worked it all out that the average cost of one day is $110. Could you right now get on the phone or go to newlife.com and support one day of radio on your station? One day. Maybe you can do 5 or 10. I don't know. But if you've never supported us, could you just give us one day? $110. I know that's a big sacrifice for a lot of people, but it's a way for us to stay on the air if we can get enough people to support one day on the air in the one station that you listen to. So it's 110, and the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. And I tell you what I'll do. If you can give us a gift today of $50 or more, I'll send you Every Man's Bible or the Life Recovery Bible, our way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry. Of course, if you can make a larger gift, that's great. We've made it in January and February. Now we're in March. And, you know, we're really wanting to get all of our things paid off, never get in this situation again, and it's headed that way. I'll remind you, tomorrow in Dallas is the New Life Weekend. That's at there. And then in D.C. on May the 13th is our marriage weekend. And then finally in Dallas, Every Man's Battle is March the 25th through the 27th. And if someone in your life is struggling with a really, really difficult sexual integrity issue, this will take care of that. And, I've talked to people 8 years, 10 years, sexual integrity, it changed it all. So it's worth a try. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and it's going to be right there in one of my favorite cities, Every Man's Battle, March 25th, Dallas, Texas. All right. Well, I've talked to you about support. Let me also ask you to pray for us. We do need your prayers. If New Life is to continue, it will be a supernatural intervention by God that allows us to do what we do. And we believe in those interventions by God, and He uses people to do that. So pray for us, and we pray for you every week. We go over I was just this morning looking at some of the prayer needs on our list of people that call in, and they're big. So pray for us. Pray for the people that listen and need us. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you that listen and watch, and especially those that support us. Thank you. And those that pray, and we'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.